Again tonight, we heard the in these testimonies or just now that God wants us to praise Him. And in that little booklet, there is a little article on the importance of praise. And I just wanted to just look at one of the passages that are referenced there. It's the story of Jehoshaphat, and you find it in 2 Chronicles 20. And I don't want to be long tonight, but I believe that God wants us to learn to praise Him. Praise the Lord anyhow. I mentioned that sign. There it is, above the doorway. Praise the Lord in spite of the circumstance, in spite of the situation I find myself. Because praise has been given to the people of God as a weapon. It's one of God's ways of bringing victory, of defeating the enemy. And this story in the Old Testament is a wonderful, illustration, something to build our faith, to show us God's way. What is it that God wanted to accomplish for His people at this time, and how did He do it? Well, you know that King Jehoshaphat, he was a good king. Seemed he had a heart for God. And beginning at verse 1, it says, "It came to pass that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon, and with them other beside the Ammonites, came against Jehoshaphat to battle. Then there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, There cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea on this side Syria, and behold, they be in Hazazon Tamar, which is in Gedi. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed the fast throughout all Judah. And Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. Even out of all the cities of Judah they came to seek the Lord." So what did they do? They were in trouble. What did they do? They prayed, right? They began to cry out to God, to seek the Lord. And that was right, and that was good. When we're in trouble, we ought to pray. Call out to our God who is near. He hears our cry. His ear is open to your cry. And He wants to save you. "And Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court and said," now listen to his prayer. This is the prayer that he prayed. "O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven? And rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen? And in thy hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee?" So now, did Jehoshaphat have an understanding of who God was? I think he did. I think he realized the God that he served was the all-powerful God. He ruled in this world, the affairs of this world. Then he goes on to say this, "Art not thou our God, who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel, and gavest it to the seed of Abraham, thy friend, forever? And they dwell therein, and have built thee a sanctuary therein for thy name, saying, If when evil cometh upon us, as the sword, judgment, or pestilence, or famine, we stand before this house, and in thy presence, for thy name is in this house, and cry unto thee in our affliction, then thou wilt hear and help." He was reminding God of what God had done for his people. Now, did God know what he did for his people? So why does he pray this way? I think it strengthens our faith. I think it was more for Jehoshaphat's faith to pray this way, reminding God, reminding himself of what God had done for them. "You drove out the inhabitants of that were here, the heathen that lived here before us. You gave us this land. And we've built a temple here in honor of your name. And Lord, you said that if we would pray in this temple in time of trouble and calamity, you would hear us." And I could just add to that, he's saying, well, Lord, we're here now, and we're in trouble. But we're standing before you in this house that has been erected for the glory of your name. And now, behold, verse 10, the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom thou wouldest not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and destroyed them not. Behold, I say, how they reward us to come to cast us out of thy possession, which thou hast given us to inherit. I think there's something here for us to realize as the Church of Jesus Christ. We're, I think, at the same place in some ways as Jehoshaphat was. The enemy is trying to take away from us our possession, the possession that God has given to us. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, here they were talking about a land that God had given, a land that God had given to his people. But God has given us a possession, beloved. He's given us land to possess. Healing in the name of Jesus is part of that land. The baptism and filling life in the Spirit of God is part of that land. Winning victories in the name of Jesus by praising him and giving thanks is part of our possession. And the enemy would like to take that ground away from us and take that back. We look back and we have a goodly heritage. We can look back and recount God's goodness in the past. And God has led us in pleasant pastures. We've been fed with the finest of the wheat. But the danger is that we lose ground to the enemy. We need to occupy and possess the land. We cannot let the enemy come and take away what God has given to his people. It doesn't mean that we won't have church. It doesn't mean that we won't, you know, come together as Christians. But the victories that God wants to give that would bring glory to his name, we want to stand and fight and claim all that God has purchased for us. You see, every generation needs to find God for themselves. Do you agree with that? I look around, I see some PKs. I see people who have grown up in church, right? You know what that means? Yeah. Ever since you were little, you knew about Jesus. Ever since you were little, you went to Sunday school. Oh, I got some more PKs over here, too. But we need to experience God. You see, I'm one of them, too. I grew up in a Christian home. I came to this camp since I was 6 years old. I think I've been here every year since I was six, at least for a week. I think only 1 year I came for a week. So why am I saying that? Because that really doesn't mean too much unless we claim all that God has for us. The enemy would come and say, well, it's not that important. You know, you still are Christian. You still go to church. It's okay. Don't get too serious about this. Don't take this too seriously. And little by little, we lose out and the blessings that God has reserved for us. Blessings that he desires to pour out upon his people. And so how did Jehoshaphat fight? What did God do? Well, he goes on, and let's just finish his prayer. He says, O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us, neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. Jehoshaphat realized that he was helpless. Could we say it that way? That's what he's saying. We don't know what to do. I don't know how to fight. I don't know how to defeat this foe. They've come against us, Lord. You have to fight for us. You have to judge for us. Sometimes we feel that the world has such a strong influence upon us, upon our lives, upon our churches. It's right there. It's there all the time. It's all around us. How do I keep my children? How do I pass on to them this godly heritage? How can I do it in such an evil world? How does it happen? Do I keep them in my house? Or do I teach them that there's a way of victory for them as well? Brother Paul started this meeting by reminding us of the preciousness of God's word. We need God's word. We need to hide God's word in our hearts that we might not sin against him. We need to learn to pray and to pray in the Holy Spirit. We need to praise. We need to learn to praise in the Spirit, to allow the Holy Spirit to praise in us and through us. We need to learn to claim the promises of God and say, it is written. Lord, you've promised. This is your word. Fulfill your word. And all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives, and their children. I like that. I like that because the battle was about their future. It was about their inheritance that the enemy was coming to take away. And so they stood there with their families. Lord, hear our prayer. Lord, defeat the work of the enemy. I don't know if we have time to read this all, but it says this, that God came upon two men and they stood up. Maybe it was more than two. It says, the Spirit of God came upon them in the midst of the congregation, and he said, hearken ye all Judah and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, do not be afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours but God's. Ye shall not need to fight. Tomorrow go ye down against them. Behold, they come up by the cliff of Ziz, and ye shall find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness. Ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. At first he says we have to go out, but then he says we don't have to fight. He says you have to go, but you have to stand still. Did you get that? So what is he saying? What do you think? You confused? Yeah. Me too. You know, I think the point is that we can't face the enemy in our own strength. He's not going to give them their own weapons to fight with. It's not like it's by your natural strength or your ability or because you've been brought up in a Christian home. That's not the strength that we take to the battle. You see, the victory comes as we learn to depend upon our God. Stand still. to me means trust me. Stop doing what you think you need to do and do what I tell you to do. Are we willing to do that? Oh, I know how to do this. I've done this before. No, stand still. Stop. And listen to the instructions I give to you. This battle is not yours. And then the Lord told them, this is where the enemy is going to be, and you're going to go out against them. And you're not going to have to fight. And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground. And all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. And the Levites, the children of the Kohathites and the children of the Korahites, stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with a loud voice on high. Brother Phil, you sing too loud. Or that person next to me, they praise too loud. Brother Petfield, you praise too loud. Yes? No. It would be good if we learned to shout. Has the Spirit of the Lord ever gotten a hold of you and caused you to shout? They praised the Lord with a loud voice. All that was within them. Hallelujah. Lord, you're worthy all praise. And when God can come to us like that, it sets us free on the inside. And it brings the victory that He wants to bring, that He alone can bring. So how is this battle won? And they rose up early in the morning and went forth in the wilderness. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, believe in the Lord your God. So shall ye be established. Believe his prophets, so shall ye prosper." And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord, that they should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army, and to say, "Praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever." That's the battle strategy. That's how the victory is going to be won. I want you to do that. People, gather together, listen to me. This is what we're going to do. We're going to put singers in front. They're going to sing, "Praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever." They're going to worship the Lord in the beauty of his holiness. They're going to lift up his name. And when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord sent ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which would come against Judah, and they were smitten. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. For the children of Ammon, Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir, utterly to slay and destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, everyone helped to destroy another. Hallelujah. The victory was won because they relied upon the Lord. Believe in the Lord your God. Trust him. Trust him. And then sing. Sing praises to him. Worship him. He's worthy. I think it helped them to get their eyes off the enemy. You see, when we praise the Lord, it causes us to instead of looking at the problem, to look at him. And so both prayer and praise were needed to bring this victory. They sought the Lord. They fasted. They called upon him. And then God showed them, now this is the way. This is the way of victory. Praise me. Sing praises. His mercy endureth forever. His love, his unfailing love, is for you, to give you the victory. And so I want to be encouraged tonight. I want to encourage you as well. Let's learn God's way. Maybe there was some who said, that doesn't seem like a good idea. Let's not put the singers in front. Let's at least put some, you know, put some soldiers in front, at least. No, let's put the singers in front. We're trusting God. We're relying upon His strength. And when they did, God fought for them. God won the victory. And what did they do? Hallelujah. It says, they returned every man of Judah and Jerusalem, and Jehoshaphat in the forefront of them, to go again to Jerusalem with joy. For the Lord had made them to rejoice over their enemies. And they came to Jerusalem with psalteries and harps and trumpets unto the house of the Lord. For the fear of the God was upon all the kingdoms of those countries when they heard that the Lord fought against the enemies of Israel. So the realm of Jehoshaphat was quiet, for his Lord gave him rest round about. And so, again, let's just take God's grace to not lose ground. Dear God, you must work by your Spirit among us. You must put this in our hearts. Lord, fill our hearts with your praise. Lord, we feel we can do better in praising you. Again, not only in this place, but throughout the day, have we learned to praise God in the kitchen? Have we learned to praise God in the dining room? Have we learned to praise God as we pick up the garbage, or sweep the walk, or work in the office? Have we learned to praise God in our cabins? Remember, the battle is not yours. The battle is His. But He asks you to put your trust in Him, to rely upon Him and His unfailing love. He wants to give victory. He wants us to possess this land that He has purchased for us. I was so thankful today we had a time of prayer. And staff, I want you to know that the guests that are here are praying for you. We pray for them, right? And they pray for us. But the prayer is that God would come to us and meet us and pour out His Spirit upon us, that we would really experience God in all His fullness. So let's continue to seek Him. Let's continue to praise Him, to believe that He will bring victory in each of our lives. We all have different situations, I'm sure, that we face, fears that we have, maybe we don't even express to others. Well, God knows, and God is for you. Believe Him. Believe His word, and praise Him. Hallelujah. Amen.
Jesus will see you through. Sing.
listing number 9 in our camp books, number 9. Let's stand as we sing. No morning fear and no morning doubting, no morning pride controlling my life. I may be free from all condemnation. I can have victory now in the strife. I take the life of victory, not I but Christ himself in me. He conquers now, he sets me free. I take, he gives the victory. There is a place, praise God, I have found it. There is a place where we may be free, free from defeat. Yes, there is victory, Jesus in thee. I take the life of victory, not I but Christ himself in me. He conquers now, he sets me free. I take, he gives the victory. Precious provision, wonderful prospect. Jesus will rule and Jesus will lead. He is my shepherd, he is my keeper. He is my bread of life, on him I feed. I take the life of victory. Christ himself in me, he conquers now,
he sets me free.
I take, he gives the victory. Yes, Lord, thank you, Lord, thank you, Lord, thank you, Lord. Oh, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Now we have time to just seek the Lord. If you feel you need to go after a time and get rest, then do that. Hallelujah, hallelujah. But let's make sure that we allow the Holy Spirit to write these things upon our hearts. The wonderful things we've heard this night, throughout this meeting, God is been speaking to us and working in us. And let's not let that slip. But let's talk to God about it and allow him to put his seal upon our hearts. Hallelujah. Sister Mary, pray with us, please. Closing.
Dear Lord, thank you for this evening. Thank you for what you're doing in all our hearts, and we want to tell you, our eyes are upon you,
Lord. Yes, Lord.
We look to you. We want to give ourselves more completely to you tonight. And we thank you for that opportunity. Please be with each one, whether they stay or go. Continue to work in our hearts and to draw us for your name's sake and for your glory.
Hallelujah.
Help us to win these victories that you have for us.
Yes.
Sometimes they seem impossible, and yet nothing is impossible with God. Oh, Jesus, again, our eyes are upon you. We ask these things in your name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. God bless you.